Due to the global outbreak of the coronavirus, the Voice of America is taking every necessary precaution to safeguard its employees, so our broadcast will look a little different today and in the near future as we reduce our staffing at VOA headquarters here in Washington. We appreciate your staying with us on Straight Talk Africa.
Hello, you are welcome to Straight Talk Africa, coming to you from my home in Arlington, Virginia, a suburb of Washington, D.C. I am Shaka Sali. And today we'll talk about initiatives to improve healthcare in rural Uganda. Joining us are two distinguished guests. Professor Sam Tumwesigyire, the co-founder and dean of the School of Medicine at Kabale University in southwestern Uganda. He joins us from Kabale. And Professor Arthur Vikangaga, a surgeon and fellow of the American College of Surgeons, who joins us from Austin, the U.S. southern state of Texas. Gentlemen, I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the two of you for the first time on this special edition of Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Shaka Sali. It's a pleasure to be your guest.
You're most welcome, sir.
Thank you, Shaka. Thank you for inviting me to this program.
You're most welcome. In some very interesting ways, I would like to say that this, in fact, is a sort of technological reunion that we are about to experience, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Agreed, it is indeed.
Professor Tumwesigyire, you make me sort of walk back in memory lane. I remember those days in the late 60s when we happened to be roommates with, of course, the man that we used to call Prince, Patrick Kabangira, who, of course, has since passed on. May his soul rest in peace. We used to share a room, I remember, in Bikangaga House at Chigezi College, Butobere, a dormitory that was named in honor of a Mr. John Bikangaga, who happens to be Professor Arthur Bikangaga's father and was, in fact, at the time, the constitutional political head of the Chigezi region where the three of us come from.
That's very true, Shaka. I remember those days with the fond memories, and it is true that we were great friends with Patrick Kabangira, who has passed on, as you say. May his soul rest in peace. I'm so glad to be able to go back in time, as it were, and remember the beautiful times and instances we shared back at the great Kigezi College, Butobere. And I think it was a bit of our youth time well spent.
I think I agree with you. It was quite an experience. And as for Arthur Vikangaga, we, of course, used to interact off and on in Uganda. And later, we came to the United States pretty much at the same time, really, in the 1970s. And then we lived together in the U.S. state of California, when he was a practicing physician and I was a graduate student at the University of California at Los Angeles, UCLA.
That's correct. You know, those were also fond memories, especially knowing, you know, a person when you are in a new country and you're trying to adapt, you know, having friends from the same area surely does make a big difference. And you did make a big difference, your presence in Los Angeles, my presence in Fresno, which is not too far from Los Angeles, allowed us to interact on a frequent basis, you know, and make it more tolerable and more at home feeling. So I do appreciate your friendship, my dear brother, and it's been a great experience together from Uganda to United States.
Let's have a brief conversation about what you two gentlemen are trying to do for the people of Kabare, especially in the areas of the medical care sector. Professor Tumwesigire, I gather that you are the co-founder and dean of the School of Medicine in Kabale. Very briefly, what triggered the idea of putting in place that most important institution?
Thank you, Shaka. Let me first of all start with a brief history of Kabale University itself. Mm-hmm. We all know that Kabale District or Kabale City is situated about 400 kilometers southwest of the capital, Kampala, and by all practical purposes, really, is you could describe it as a rural-based locality, and the people of Kigezi, and by this I mean people who live in the current districts of Kabale, Kisoro, Rukunjiri, Kanungu, and Ruchiga, decided through the organization of which Arthur belongs to that tries to bring together all the citizens of Kigezi, did start a community sponsored university, and they called it Kabale University. The objective of this university was to contribute to the training of human resource in the very many areas where there was a need for professional cadres, and also as a contribution to the overall objective of the government of Uganda to contribute to the training of professionals who are able and have the skills to run the economy of this country. So the university started in the year 2002, and they soon realized that there was a big training gap for health professionals, and these were needed to urgently be able to come in and handle the very, very, very obvious health needs of the populations in this area. The need for this was strengthened by the fact that the few health professionals already trained in this country prefer to live and work in urban centers. And as I have already said, the Kabale area being very, very rural, naturally tended, instead of attracting health professionals to live and work there, actually was sort of repelling very many of them. And as a consequence, people with the obvious very many health-related issues were underserved in this regard. So the university authorities decided to start a medical training program or programs, and these started in a very humble way in 2007, and later sort of built up speed where the university authorities commissioned a group of 13 eminent health educators and clinicians, and they called this a task force, which was mandated to plan for the establishment of this medical school. So that is how the idea came. That is how it was created. And this team produced their report in February 2015, and they recommended that, yes, the traditional medical school setup be established, but this training of doctors was deemed not enough, so they added disciplines that were urgently needed, and these included training of graduate nurses, training people in health services management, training people in public health, and so on and so forth.
So let me ask you, Sam, what kind of vision or what kind of mission is the School of Medicine looking at?
Our mission is to be able to create a medical school or an institution where people come in and are trained and given skills and right attitudes, and hopefully the willingness to live and work in rural areas where these services are more needed. And the philosophy behind this is the realization that, as I have already said, the majority of trained health professionals prefer to live and work in urban centers. But you are going to realize, Shaka, that past studies and statistics have shown that about 70% of the health workforce in this country are living and practicing in urban centers, but urban centers are areas where only 20% of the population live. In other words, we have a situation where the majority of trained health workers are practicing where the majority of the citizens of the country are not living or residing. So the mission is to create a trained health workforce of individuals who have the skills but are willing to live and work in these deserving rural populations. And this is the basis, the philosophy behind establishing of this medical school at Kabale.
Professor Bikangaga, first of all, I gather, of course, that you are associated with the School of Medicine at Kabale University, and hence the rank of professor. Given that you live thousands and thousands of miles away, how do you contribute, or how do you come in the training of physicians at that institution?
My story and association with Kabale region, Kigezi region, goes back 5 years ago when we traveled with a professor from University of California, San Francisco, to visit Kabale, Kigezi region, and to visit the lottery clubs, and I'll come to that, and to visit the Ministry of Health. As a surgeon, you would wonder, why am I getting involved in healthcare issues? 1976, I came to the United States to train in maternal and child health, assisted by a professor, Helen Wallace, who was the chairperson of the Department of Public Health at UC Berkeley, University of California, Berkeley. And she had done a survey for World Health Organization of the health needs of Africa, focusing on Uganda, because Uganda then was far ahead in many ways of many African countries. It had an infrastructure, it had a university that was well known, not only in Africa, but across the planet for its research and its discovery of diseases like Burkitt's lymphoma, Kaposi sarcoma, that put the Uganda on the map then. And she published a report of the healthcare needs of Uganda and Africa in general, and then recommended that the training of doctors, of some doctors at least, be directed at promoting this model of healthcare in Uganda, and then demonstrate that that model of healthcare was probably the best way for Africa to develop its health services. Due to political issues, of course, I wasn't able to go back and participate in this endeavor after completing my education. Mm-hmm. I went into surgery and became a surgeon and practiced surgery, but always had my primary goal, which is what I came here to do, came to United States to do, which was to train in how can we contribute to development of healthcare services in Africa. Naturally, my focus then was on Uganda. And we surveyed, we met with some. They didn't have a university then, but they had a regional hospital that, you know, he was, you know, the superintendent of, or at least high up in the organization of. We talked to him. We talked to the Lottery International, because all these programs need funding, and our funding was targeted on the lottery clubs, local lottery clubs, to raise funds, you know, to affect that kind of mission. We met with the Ugandan government officials, Dr. Ruhakana Rugunda, the Honorable Prime Minister, had been a graduate of the same college, of the same school that I had been to in maternal and child health. So we spoke the same language. With him and the Minister of Health, the targeted area, not because of my origin from Kigezi, but the targeted area was Kigezi because of the unique health challenges Kigezi has. The mountainous setting, the difficult access of the local community to healthcare facilities, the lack of trained healthcare professionals and professionals willing to stay the course and help the region. So these challenges, we after discussing them extensively with the Prime Minister and then the Permanent Secretary of the Ministry of Health, we formed a strategy. The strategy was to focus on one district in Kigezi and attend to the health centers and see whether we could adapt those health centers to truly serve the community and not to be there as medical centers. There's always been a confusion, and the professor knows this, about health care and medical care. Medical care is treating the ill, the sick. If you have malaria, you come to the healthcare center and we give you an injection or tablets and you go home and you get better, but then you get sick again with malaria and you keep coming back because we have not addressed the cause of why you got sick in the first place. So considering and agreeing with the Prime Minister of Uganda that we had already gone through the experiment of what can change the healthcare of a community by the Kasangati experiment. And I'll talk a little bit about the Kasangati experiment because I think it's important for people in Uganda, Kigezi, Uganda, Africa in general, to know that we had already performed an experiment at what it affects our health communities the best. This wasn't to copy the healthcare in the West, Western countries, or the Eastern countries for that matter. This was an experiment to see what would serve the African experience, the African setup, the African culture, what would affect the healthcare so that our mothers survive just as well as they survive in Sweden, so that our children survive just as well as they survive in Sweden. I choose Sweden because it has the best numbers on the planet as far as survival is concerned. So the experiment in Kasangati was based on having a defined population that a health center serves and equip that health center with healthcare workers that made sense. You know, midwives, because that's where the majority of problems were and the losses were through problems with pregnancy. Equip it with pediatric, you know, trained nurses that know how to treat children, not only in the hospital, but how to talk to children in terms and the mothers in terms of those issues that predispose them to those diseases. So obviously, health education was a big component of the program. The other big component was maternal health, child health, MCH, maternal child health. The last component was the environmental control. How do you go out there and make sure that what you teach in the health center is followed by your clients or your stakeholders? So the outreach, the social outreach program was a big component. And it was called psychosocial because it also needed to address some of these psych issues where most of there was lacking care. If you were born in crazy, quote unquote, by the community you are labeled crazy, there was no care for you. You know, you were out there walking, as you recall, in your childhood, and my childhood, and Sam's childhood. The mental health was not given a priority. So these health centers were fashioned to address these problems at community level. And then the ideas, of course, fell apart because of the political, you know, as you know, the political, you know, issues that we underwent, and the programs kind of died. And so in my opinion, it was an opportunity for me to partner with Kabale and, you know, progressive, you know, doctors like Professor Sam Tumwesigyire, who also were trained by the same people like I had been trained, to partner with them and see whether we could establish this model for a district in Kigezi, or a small sub-district or whatever it's called Bufundi. And Bufundi's main health center was Muko, thus the Muko project. And, you know, we can talk a little bit more about that.
We'll get to that later.
Yes.
Now, Professor Tumwesigyire, you too are proud graduates of Makerere University Medical School, which in the 1960s and a part of the 1970s was a world-class institution. When you think about the institution that you founded in Kabale, how do you rate its quality? Because there are some critics who have been saying that what has happened in Uganda recently is about looking at institutions in terms of quantity as opposed to focusing on the quality of the doctors, the physicians, the nurses that are trained. How do you react to that?
Thank you, Shaka. I agree the kind of opportunities and training that was present in the late 1960s when I joined Makerere, and the circumstances that face people who are trainees and trainers in the current situations may differ. But I'm glad to say that beginning with the task force that I described to you, who planned the establishment, actually also participated in the writing of the academic programs that we are going to be taught at Kabale. But first of all, I want to explain that before a program is started, is opened for students, goes through a rigorous process. And this process starts with people or departments writing curricula in draft forms, which go through the necessary quality assurance steps and mechanisms. But these have got to be scrutinized by the National Council of Higher Education, which is the central body appointed by government to ensure that what is taught in the country in general and is of good quality and answers to the overall objectives that are stated by the people who write these programs. I'm happy to say that all the two diploma level programs, this is diploma in anesthesia and diploma in health services management, plus the three undergraduate programs, this is bachelor's of nursing science, bachelor of environmental health science, I can't remember very quickly the third one, plus the two postgraduate training programs I mentioned, have all been cleared and accredited by this National Council of Higher Education. Now, this is as far as Uganda is concerned, but I'm also happy to say that even at the East African level, the East African countries have got national medical councils, and these councils together have created a body which participates in inspection of these medical training institutions to be sure that graduates who go through these places are able to know of the three countries. I'm also happy to say that Kabale University School of Medicine has been inspected twice and has been cleared and declared fit to have the right quality to train the health professionals in the basic medical degree we call Bachelor of Medicine and Bachelor of Surgery, in nursing, and these other programs and disciplines that I described at the beginning. Now, by being recognized at the East African level is by inference saying that your college or university or medical school is actually good enough to produce graduates that should competitively be able to practice anywhere in the world.
As I often say, time is not our best ally. We'll continue with the discussion, so please don't go away, because we'll be right back with you. Distinguished guests are Professor Sam Tumwesigyire, the co-founder and dean of the School of Medicine at Kabale University in southwestern Uganda, and Professor Arthur Vikangaga, a surgeon and fellow of the American College of Surgeons, who joins us from Austin, the U.S. southern state of Texas. Talk to us about the budget situation and the infrastructure. We're talking about libraries here and other appropriate or necessary infrastructure that are associated with a serious medical school.
Thank you very much, Saka. We started the medical school in 2016, which means we are 4 years old and we are still growing. Actually, we have not completed the full establishment of all the disciplines that one would have at a typical medical school. We are still in the development stages, and we still depend a lot on the financial support provided by the university in general, which means we depend largely on the grants and allocations provided by the government of Uganda, and also in general has got challenges associated with infrastructure. And we are still in the growing stage. And as far as the libraries are concerned, we have got the main library at the Chikunjiri campus. This is where the main university campus is situated. And we have got a medical section, but I know that the physical books and the electronic books, and these are not yet enough. We have another small library at the medical school premises. These are situated at the teaching hospital at Kabale Regional Hospital. They are not enough either. So, yes, these are challenges of space, challenges of your library resources, challenges of office space, for staff and administrative staff. And in that area, we are still very, very weak.
Now, Professor Vikangaga, you were trained at a world-class medical school at Makerere in the 60s and the 70s. You also came here to the United States and you were trained at another world-class institution in medicine, and that is the University of California, San Francisco. Sincerely, if you were to talk to me from the deepest, better part of the bottom of your Calvary heart and soul, would you recommend, for example, your daughter or son, or a daughter or a son of a friend, to attend the School of Medicine at Calvary University?
That's a great question. If you ask me that question, and truthfully, I would say no, because I probably would not want, you know, my child or, you know, or a relative to go through a process that is just beginning. That is the honest truth. Now, our challenge is to make this young medical school equip it with the most capabilities to train doctors that are at par with any other medical school. Currently, it's a very, like Professor said, it's a very, very young school. You know, we, meaning me and my associates, and we'll talk more about that, have been intertwined with the medical training for now several years. In fact, we are proud to graduate 4 obstetricians and gynecologists from that institution, or at least they're in the process of graduation. Now, when I compare them with our training, even in the 60s, in Mulago, there is a deviation, and the deviation is real. And if we denied it, we would be denying where the deficiencies are and what we need to do to address those deficiencies. One of them is a discordance between the responsibilities of the Ministry of Education and the Ministry of Health as to who is responsible for training of these doctors. What Uganda has done, which has been to leave the cost of training to the doctors, in my opinion, is a disaster, because training of doctors, the doctors have to spend all their effort, all their time, all their dedication to actually learning that discipline that they are trying to later on practice or give to the community. You can't then request them to pay for their education, because it's expensive to live in general. It's expensive to support a family, to send your kids to school. On top of that, to ask them to pay for their education when they are actually in the training process providing services, you know, is something which maybe the dean would address. But that is a big hindrance to quality of training.
It seems to me, Professor Vikangaga, from what you just said, that there is a need really for probably a strategy for fundraising. There is a need, definitely, for a lot of money in order to get the appropriate infrastructure that you need to train a physician, a nurse, and perhaps an assistant physician to attend to the issues of healthcare in rural Uganda in general, and in Kabale specifically. I know that there are a lot of important people in the Ugandan government who watch Straight Talk Africa every Wednesday. If they were watching this program, Professor Bikangaga, could you please look direct in the camera and talk to those appropriate officials what you think to the best of your ability is needed in order to transform the School of Medicine at Kabale University into a serious institution that would have the ability and the wherewithal to address the issues of the people of Kabale?
I think, all honesty, there has to be a realignment of priorities. What are your priorities as a government in terms of provision of services to your people? As I said, healthcare is one of the basic services a society needs. A society needs healthy people in order for them to be productive and to live with dignity, which is all humanity requires. And in my opinion, the priorities have not been right. The priorities have tended to focus, like Professor said, on urban areas, especially Kampala and the suburbs of Kampala, to make it look and appear that the hospitals that resemble hospitals in New York or London or that you find in Kampala represent what the healthcare of Uganda is, which is a fallacy, as we know, because 20% of the population live in the cities, and even in the cities, that 20% can't access healthcare because you never attempted to improve the healthcare in the first place. All you did was put a physical building and say, okay, we have CT scanners, we have MRIs, we therefore are modern, you know, a country. It has nothing to do with those slums and the people in the slums and the water that runs that is contaminated and the environment in which they live. You have to attend to the entire populations. Like I said, you know, Shaka, we were sent to train to address these problems as healthcare workers, not as medical care workers, as healthcare workers, to improve healthcare at the district level, and then the university level, like Kabale, and then at just that university, not to be a university like a University of London, and training doctors as University of London, but to train doctors with the same quality of training and same capabilities of training, but more geared to improving healthcare at community levels. And I think if the government realigned its priorities and its focus and put its focus and help on institutions like Kabale University that are trying to train, you know, doctors and healthcare workers geared to going to serve the community, man the health centers, direct the community, work with the community, the teachers, the school teachers, the religious leaders, the government leaders at community level, to all band together and give healthcare the priority it deserves, because that is what people need, is health. And health, you can define it in many ways. It's being comfortable in your mind. It's sleeping in peace. It's being able to go to church peacefully. It's being able to invite your friends. It's being able to hold a wedding. It's being able to afford daily activities. It's being able to raise your children. It's being able to get them to schools and being able to afford them. Shaka, because you've interviewed many leaders across Africa, many leaders have deviated from the communities that they serve. We need to first take care of the people, you know, first, and then maybe, you know, then maybe we can afford some of the luxuries. But there's been that discordance, you know, in which I'm trained. Like you asked me, would you train your child in that institution? And I said, no, not yet. But maybe when this criteria has been met, I would be more than happy to send my child to Kabale Medical School, you know, knowing that they're training him for the goals that we're trying to achieve.
One of my intellectual colleagues told me that all of life is about passion, action, and reaction. That to ignore the passion, action, and reaction of your time or your generation is to risk having not really lived at all, occupying space. Is that what we would like our people to do? Professor Tumwesigire.
I think my personal view is that each of us in life should have something that they look out for, to live for, and therefore to act and ensure that the aspiration that is in their heads is realized, if not fully, at least in the great majority of the times. Now, how does one be able to accommodate their aspirations? Of course, it's a very, very complex question and a situation, because we all depend on each other. But I think what Arthur was talking about of laying priorities and therefore strategies in order to achieve whatever, whichever objectives we have set ourselves out to achieve, depends on very many stakeholders. We, the health workers, would love, for instance, to be able to, yes, get the education and the skills that would enable us to work. Us as a child perhaps would not come to work and live in Kabale, because Arthur lives in a world that is different from the world that Tumwesigire is living in. And therefore, objective settings should be both at personal, at community, and at national level. It is true that there may be overall international or universal objectives and truth and whatever, which we would all like to be able to prescribe to. But I think, and Dr. Mikangaga said so, let us have the type of planning and objectives and aspirations that we can be able to actually go through and achieve, and then when we finish one set of objectives, that means we are progressing. Then we can replan and in that way be able to move from one lowly humble step to the next and to the next, until perhaps we reach a level where we can compare ourselves to other countries and to other continents.
I do agree with you, of course, but we have to translate what we know, knowledge-wise, into action. We set out to come to Kabale campus. Through help by professors from New York, professors from San Francisco, professors from, you know, NGO sponsored organizations, to come to Kabale with two purposes. One, to see a rural health community that we could help develop and use it as an example for the rest of Uganda. In other words, know the number of people in that community, know where what the statistics are, you know, maternal mortality rates and infant mortality rates. Those have been the standard measure of the health of a community. Put the interventions in the health center, and then measure to make sure that we were right. Our interventions did result in the changes that we aspire to do. That is the MUCO project. Kabale, the university project, was to help you, assist you in any way with the challenges that you have in training, you know, doctors of good quality, of similar quality like we would see and train them here, you know, or in New York or wherever. And that has been an ongoing process, as you know. We still have challenges, you know, the COVID, you know, pandemic hasn't helped because that is 1 year gone where we haven't been able to come and assist you.
Right.
But the assistance is there. The assistance to the university is there. My hope is that with time, we will have graduates that are just as good as anywhere else, but also that are trained to target rural communities, not to go into urban communities and you know, and enjoy a beautiful house and, you know, and a beautiful car, you know, while charging tremendous amounts of money to patients who do not have the money, you know, and whom you're really not caring for other than treating that very problem that they come to you to see you for, you know, and sending them back to the same environment that creates the same problems, you know. So, you know, we are not there, but that was our aim. That was our goal with Kabale. It was supposed to be a targeted area for us to show great improvement in health education, great improvement in community health, and use it as an example for the rest of Uganda, if not the rest of the other countries in Africa.
When you two gentlemen and I were growing up in Uganda, we enjoyed essentially what I would call social justice when it came to medical care. As a matter of fact, when you talked about medical care, you were talking about being a relative right for every Ugandan, no matter where he or she lived. But in doing my homework for this show, I realized that that is no longer the case. Medical care has turned out to be a privilege, and a privilege of the few. I was reading, for example, that the elite, especially the political elite and the rich folks, routinely go for medical checkup either in neighboring countries or go abroad or overseas. If true, then what happens to the vast majority of the people in Uganda in general, and the people of Kabale in particular? Sam?
Well, I do not think, Shaka, that we should begrudge too much those who have the capacity or the ability to access the different levels of care, but What worries me as a health professional is the lack of equity. The lack of equity in the sense that maybe the basic infrastructure and the basic trained human resource to provide the minimum basic care one would expect if they visited any health facility, and these are at different levels. And it is true that the expected capacities at these different levels have been defined, and there are places where you go, for instance, if you have got a surgical problem, you expect that problem to be handled surgically. There are places at the same time which are lower, and if you went with a surgical problem, they are not expected to operate on you. So these are the basic capacities that we would expect to be available at least the public health facilities, which in my view were created to cater for the great majority of people who cannot afford to go and seek out private health care.
You know, it's interesting what you say, but I must still correct you. Do not confuse medical care with health care. You know, they are two different issues. You know,
I appreciate it.
The medical care, they may seek medical care in private institutions, usually for acute care problems. They have a fever, they have pneumonia. You know, they go get treated and given medications, or they're given medications, they go home. You know, it has absolutely nothing to do with the actual health care. Now, when we were studying healthcare, since we are in a program like this, and we're educating, you know, our viewers that are watching us, when we were studying healthcare is the country, you know, it is what people are about, you know. These other areas, you know, industrialization, all these other,
now when you talk about healthcare, are we talking about prevention here?
We're talking about prevention of disease is part of healthcare, but maintaining a healthy economic status at home is healthy.
I see.
Eating the right food makes you healthy. Having a balanced mental status makes you healthy. All these factors contribute to how productive you are in a society.
I see.
And how much you are able to do, and how much you are able to train your children to become engineers, to become whatever. It's difficult under very difficult circumstances when you have no money.
Gentlemen, I hate to say it, but I'm being reminded here by my boss that time is not my best ally. Our distinguished guests are Sam Tumwesigyire and Dr. Arthur Bikangaga. Thanks to our audience for tuning into Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not beta, the people of Kabare. And please, please remember to keep the African hopes alive.